Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Demcast Network. I'm Kimberly Johnson, still quarantined in D.C., and today I'm going to be talking with Sarah Wood. She's back. I was supposed to talk to John Pavlovitz, but at the last minute, he was asked to go to a march to protest. So, you know, absolutely. We can talk anytime. So today it's going to be me and Sarah, and we're going to be talking about the events of the day. But before we get started, a real quick update. So far, Miranda's doing pretty good, knock on wood. She's eating, she's going to the bathroom. Obviously, that's my 16-year-old kitty. But the good, very extra good news is today is our 16-year anniversary. She was 3 months old when I got her. She was born on March 1st in 2004. And I found her and took her home on June 3rd, 2004. So it is our 16th anniversary. And I'm so grateful that she's here because she's my sweet little baby and I love her so much. Let's see. Is there anything else? Oh, I know that I wanted to let you know. I said this because I already recorded the show with Sarah, and I said this at the end, but just to make sure everybody knows, I'm going to be talking with Glenn Kirshner next Monday, and I'm not sure about Wednesday, but I'm going to be looking for somebody. But anyway, Tuesday, Steph and I are going to do a patrons only show. So there's that. And okay, let's just go with Start Me Up podcast is independent and it is supported by listeners and it's woman run. So, you know, I don't have corporate backers and I don't use advertisers. It's patrons who keep the show going. And just so you know, the way that it works is there's on Patreon, if you're not familiar, there are tiers and you can support the show monthly. $2, $3, $5, $10. So if you support the show for like $2, right now, like if you're a supporter for $1 or $2 and you want to listen to some of the patrons only, which I think what I'm going to start doing on that is up until now, I know I'm kind of all over the board, but just hear me out. Up until now, I've been doing everybody who's a patron for $1 has been able to hear the two patrons only shows per month. And mostly they're done with Stephanie, but I know sometimes I'm going to be doing solo shows. And the deal is patrons only shows are more personal, just like a more personal tone to them. But I think what I'm going to start doing is for now, because I'll eventually slide and graduate to a different level of doing things. But one show that's a patrons only show, I'm going to leave for patrons only starting from $1 and up. The next show is going to be the $5 tier. So in order to get two shows that are patrons only, you got to upgrade to that $5 tier. And if you're at the $1 tier, you'll get one for now. Eventually, the $5 tier is going to be the only tier where you can hear those shows. But I'm still growing everything, and I realize that, you know, we're going through hard financial times right now. So I don't know how long it's going to be, but I think what I'll do for June is I'll make the patrons-only shows available for $1 or more per month. Starting in July, I'm going to be doing it where you get one show if you're $1, two, three, four. And then if you're a $5 subscriber or patron, you'll get both. So I hope I was clear on that. But anyway, you just go to patreon.com/startmeup. And you can see all that stuff. And if you didn't hear the show on Monday, I talked with Kathy Griffin, and that was really, really fun. And it was funny because somebody said that they were exhausted after listening to her because she's got so much energy. It's like, I know, they should fucking bottle her energy. She's so energetic. And talking to her was so much fun. So if you didn't hear it, you should go check it out. Let's see. And don't forget, you can, like I said, you can join up and you could start for like, say, $2. And if you're like, oh, my God, I really dig this show, you can upgrade to $5. You can upgrade to $10. You can pay me anything you want. So just you don't have to go by the tiers. You can sign up for any dollar amount that you're comfortable with. Again, patreon.com/startmeup. And then you can also do that one-time donation thing because in the text of the Patreon description of this show and every show, I include my email address, which is where you can use your PayPal thing and send whatever kind of donation you like. You can find Start Me Up on iTunes and Stitcher and wherever podcasts are found. Basically, the deal is go to iTunes or get to Apple Podcasts, which I always include the link right after the description of this show. Just click on that. You get to my show, and then you can become a subscriber at Apple Podcasts for free. And then please, please, please give me a rating if you like the show and a review. If you don't like the show, I don't need your rating. But, you know, that's the way it goes. So I guess that's going to be it. So I hope you enjoy my conversation today with Sarah Wood. Welcome back, Sarah.
Hello.
Good to have you on once again.
It's really great to be here.
Boy, we're having some crazy times, aren't we?
It's something. 2020 did not see any of this coming. But
no shit.
It is what it is. Yeah. Some of it I feel is not COVID, but a lot of the other stuff that's happening right now is definitely, I think, needed.
Yeah.
What's happening. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speaking of COVID, I have a list of things that we can go over, but I kind of want to talk about the COVID thing because... You know, okay. I check every day, and the cases on June 1st were 16,070. The cases in U.S., so this is all U.S., on June 2nd were 20,073. So it went up 4,000 in a day. And I know that, day is going to, can vary. But considering the pool parties that we saw on Memorial Day weekend and the crowded boardwalks and all that... Plus, now we have people who are protesting, and I want to I definitely want to get to the I want to talk about the COVID or the protesting during COVID. But I mean, the thing is my girlfriend Steph was out there in Oakland protesting, and she said, we were all wearing masks, but we were all on top of each other. And the truth of the matter is that those masks only protect you so much. They're not absolute. So there's little holes on the side. It's harder for a virus to sneak in through the side. But, you get a wind or something like that. There's danger there. But, I'm kind of like, I think we're going to see this big, huge spike. And it's going to be awful and ugly. And there's going to be a lot of deaths. But the thing that I'm concerned about is now I'm starting to get the reminders from my gynecologist. And they're like, oh, it's time for your annual everything. And it's like, I don't really want to go. and it's like, I don't want to mess around with my I no longer have reproductive health, but you know what I mean. I don't want to mess around with that. But at the same time, I don't want to fucking go into a doctor's office and, risk it. It's like, can I skip a year? I don't know. I mean, what do you think about that?
I'm mixed on it because my father-in-law just had surgery.
Yeah.
So he had to go. It was surgery for his foot. So it wasn't like opening his chest on the table or anything like that.
Right.
But he had it. It was originally scheduled for March. And so he just had it done. And I was concerned about stuff like that until they were like, they basically keep everybody separate.
Yeah, I know.
There's
they do.
like no one Bailey in the waiting room.
No, but
rooms.
I mean, in the gynecologist's office, you're basically, all I'm worried about is other people who might have it. And
I know. I worry about that all the time. I worry about that at the grocery store. Everywhere I go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I constantly assume everybody has it. I had to go to a pet store the other day for something my dog needed. And this guy, he's a sweet guy. He opens the door for me. And I was like, all right. And I was like, I have to get closer to you for me. And he's like, go ahead. And then I felt bad. So I went slowly and then ran in the store. And then I was like, thank you. and he was wearing a mask, but I was still like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I just like the idea of getting on a freaking, gynecological table and exposing myself. I know that they're
my least favorite. I have I have the worst experience with that. So
it's no fun. Just in case anyone wondered, any men, if you were wondering, it's no fun.
Especially my last experience was at a teaching hospital where I had a 22 year old kid, boy, staring at my area.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's awful.
I was mortified. Yeah. I had to eventually be like, he needs to leave. Cause you're not going to get that speculum in any,
no.
Tighten me right up.
Oh my. Well, I mean, I'm glad that when I first moved to Maryland, I set up my doctors and everything. And so I had, I take bioidentical hormones. And so they had to do a test, a saliva test to see where I was. And I guess it was showing that I had a very high amount of estrogen. And so the doctor wanted to do a procedure on me. And of course, I can't remember the name of this procedure, but she was like, I think she offered me either do the in-office scraping or go to another, actually go to an operating room in a hospital where they put you down, you know, they put you not down, but they put you out and they just put you down. Bye, Kimberly. But they put you out and then they do it. And I just wanted outpatient. I wanted quick. Oh my God. If I ever have to do that again, I'm going to the hospital and being put down because there's no fucking way. It was the worst pain of my fucking life. But at least I got all that shit out of the way. But just going back to that, that she was worried with the amount of estrogen that I had that there was, I don't know, that my something about my lining, you know, in that area, it could cause cancer and all this. So we had to make sure that I wasn't in the danger zone, which thankfully I was not. But that process, she said, she goes, okay, well, I guess she had to do scrape or point or whatever she had to do several times. So she said, it's going to feel like period cramps. Okay, this was like period cramps times a fucking billion. Oh, it was God. So bad. I can't even imagine. I just never had pain like that in my life. And for the entire day afterward, I had like the shadow pain of it. It was so fucking bad. But, you know, I'm glad I got all that stuff out of the way. And for 2 years in a row, you know, I've been, or I guess it was, how many times have I gone? 2018, 2019. So 2 years in a row, everything checked out. So that's good. And I know things can change quickly or, you know, one day all of a sudden, oh, look, we see this, you know, issue here that you have to take care of. But it's like, I don't know. If cases are going to continue to rise, which I believe they will, I'm just going to tell her I don't feel comfortable this year. But I think that I'm going to have a problem because I don't know if she's going to, I don't know. I mean, in order to get bioidenticals, all I have to do is spit in a tube and then send that tube off to have it analyzed. And then they send the results to my doctor. And the last time that I did that, it was right around April sometime. And so because COVID was new and everything, we did a telemed, you know, and just did it over the Zoom thing or whatever. And so I hope that I can continue doing that because it's like, I don't want to be forced to go in there because I do feel like I'm risking my life. I'd like to wait at least a year and see where things go because I think we're going to see a huge, huge spike. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel the same way. Like I'm definitely due for like a physical and like a teeth cleaning and all of that mm-hmm. and all of those things. And I'm just like, it's not for me. I'm like, unless something was pressing and yes. I felt like I had to.
I'm taking really good care of my teeth. I'm just like, oh my God, I went and bought a new toothbrush. Exactly. That's like one of those Oral-Bs that's round and I'm like flossing after every month. It's like, just keep your teeth as clean as they, as good as they can be. I don't want to go to the dentist either right now because that's really, all of it's scaring me. And it's like, it fucking sucks because I saw some experts say that, you know, don't count on, a vaccine quickly, we're more likely to see something that might lessen the symptoms. So, I mean, I don't know. I know that a lot, you know, people all over the world are working on a vaccine, and I don't know when and all of that, but oh my God.
If there are treatments that lessen it, I mean, not like drugs that the occupant of the White House is trying to sell, but like actual treatments that will make symptoms better and less people die, then that would be.
I'll
take it in the meantime before there's a vaccine.
Yes. But, you know, I read an article recently that they're finding that it's more than just like a virus that is like, what do you call it? Pneumonia, that it's also a blood vessel disease because they're seeing all these like people who have blood clots and they're having strokes. And so I guess the good news with that is there are medicines that can help that along. So initially when it was going down and people would have the blood clots, doctors didn't know what they were facing. I mean, I know kids who get it. Well, it might not be kids. It might be adults and kids, but there's something called COVID toes. Like after you've had.
I saw images of that out and it's very alarming.
It is, but that's supposed to be the blood vessel thing. That's supposed to be attached to that.
Yeah. It's affecting different people differently. That's what's so crazy about COVID is like, you think that there are specific symptoms.
Yeah.
And I think that everyone's like, oh, well, the numbers actually aren't as bad as they are. I think the numbers are actually worse.
Yes.
Because people are like, they're listing, like, what was it in Florida? Of course, Florida, they were saying like,
it was pneumonia, I think, right?
They're saying it's pneumonia. Yeah. And like the pneumonia numbers and the pneumonia deaths are skyrocketing, but they're counting it as pneumonia and not COVID.
Right.
And it's like why? why do that? I don't understand. It's got to be purely political.
It's got to be purely political because, I mean, why else are they doing it? I mean, Trump does not want us talking about COVID. I honestly think that he's so grateful for all the protests so he can be Mr. Dictator and pretend COVID doesn't exist anymore. You know,
he is really loving playing a dictator now. He's like with all military force and like, that's ridiculous. I've never seen such a, it's just like, I have seen such a thing in other countries that we've invaded to save them.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it in Russia and it's like, oh my fucker. Well, there's some good news, although don't get happy, don't get happy, don't get happy, as Bob Seska always likes to say, but the Real Clear Politics poll has Joe. Okay. So here's the numbers. In 2020, Biden is up 8 points. In this day in history, okay, so right now he's up 8 points. In this day in history, Clinton was up 1.5, Obama was up 1.3, and then in 2008, Obama was up 1.4. So it was 2012, Obama 1.3, 2008, Obama was... So Biden has a very strong lead, and I know that we're early, and polls are polls, but that's a good sign. Just, you know, pretend you never saw it and... keep going. You know, like do
that's
everything you need
about
to vote.
Polls. Polls let me down so hard in 2016. I don't even look at them. What was it? Steve King was up in his poll.
Oh, really?
And then he just lost. So,
but I heard, sorry, I heard I that the guy, know. I heard the guy who beat him is like just as bad as him. And I don't know.
When they were like, oh, Steve King lost. And I was like, I don't know if that's necessarily it's great. I hate Steve King, but it's like at the same time, you're like, well, who replaced him?
Yeah.
Who like, hopefully the Democrat can still win.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll say it is Iowa. So, you know, I don't know how that's going to go over there, but you know, it's funny because I mean, I've seen politicians in my lifetime when I lived in Los Angeles, like my dad had, I think he was on the Clinton campaign in 92, 91, whatever year that was. And then I met Bill Clinton just walking to a restaurant with my girlfriend to meet my dad. Bill Clinton was there. And it was funny because she had told me, she's like, I was not political at this time. And she was going on and on and on about Clinton. And then there he was. And he shook our hands and asked us for a vote. And then, you know, and I saw my dad also was on the... what's that guy who ran, oh God, the older man, Republican who ran against Clinton the second term? Bob Dole. And I met him. But when I moved here to the D.C. area, and then I went to a shadow hearing about the Equal Rights Amendment, and Alyssa Milano had invited me to go to that because she was speaking. And so I brought my mom and we were walking through the halls of Congress and the first fucking guy we saw was Steve King. I was just desperately wanted to just go up to him and start screaming at him. But of course, you know, I didn't. I wanted to. It was a nice little fantasy. But he would, I would never do that unless he did something very specific. But I wanted to scream that he was a racist. And I just was funny that that was the person that I saw. But in the room that day, there was a whole bunch of politicians. So, you know, and Jerry Nadler was there. And I always want to... just praise him for all the work that he did on the Equal Rights Amendment because he was really, really, really there and making sure that, you know, hearings, because there was that second hearing that I didn't go to and it was a legitimate hearing. And they, I think they covered, I know Alyssa Milano was there and I know a bunch of other ERA activists were there, but they covered trans people so that it is on the record, you know, that at that point it had not, I think there were only 37 states that had ratified. Now we have 38. Of course, now we're in the legal battle. But, you know, once this gets into the Constitution, there could be, if no one had ever mentioned in a legitimate hearing or, you know, any kind of a legitimate setting that the Equal Rights Amendment covered trans people, then there might be some question. This last hearing, there is no question. It covers everybody. So I'm so grateful that that was, and Jerry Nadler was part of that. And it's like, you know, a lot of people like to throw insults at people like Jerry Nadler and calling him a centrist and everything. And it's like, no, he's not.
The thing is, and this will always remain a truth, we need the centrists to get things done.
Yeah.
Because like that's where solutions are found. And like we can have a lot, we need the progressive voices obviously to push the center further left.
Right.
But
we always need to keep pushing. We always need to keep pushing. And the thing is the centrists are kind of the gap between the two other sides. And so it's like, the only thing that I recognize now, not now, I've recognized this for the entire time, but, I guess you could say that people who are a little bit more moderate, and I'm not talking about you per se, I'm talking about certain politicians that are more moderate, have an easier time looking away at inequality. And it's not to say that they're, I think it's just a matter of it's not affecting them as much. And, you know, so it's like, I know that it's important. I always struggle with this because it's like, it's important for, to recognize that we need compromise. And we're dealing right now, sadly, with this like racist party, this racist, sexist, misogynist party, which is not like, I mean, okay, I'm not going to say that the Bush administration was so great or anything, but they were terrible. They were absolutely terrible. And they led to where we are right now. So they are also to blame. But it's like, you know, let's just go back to that Bush administration where it's easier, even for like the moderate Republicans to, you know, if they're comfortable and they've got everything they need, well, if a black person is killed, that's not their problem. And we need to get away from that. We need, like, I think centrist Democrats really need to make sure, and moderate Democrats need to make sure that nobody is, you know, nobody's life is more important than another, and that we can never look away when it comes to any kind of, whether it's, you know, cops killing, you know, unarmed, non-threatening black people or women whose rights are taken away. We can never just look away. I mean, we need those kind of middle of the road Democrats so that they can help us, you know, get some of those moderate Republicans over on our side.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. They help whip the votes.
Right.
Cause like that's how you, cause when we don't have a majority, we don't have a super majority. Mm-hmm. We need the more moderates.
Yeah.
Who generally will agree with the more progressive voice, but will also be able to reach out to the other side.
Yeah, and that's
people are like, we shouldn't have to reach out to Republicans. I'm like, well, the reality of it is we do.
Yeah.
And
it would just be better to, I mean, what we need in 2020 is such a massive landslide that Republicans recognize they can't pull the shit anymore. You know, I mean, they just have to realize if I want to keep my seat, I need to, you know, not behave like a fascist dictator anymore. You know what I mean? It's like
I could not believe all the Republicans walking by, not answering the question about what did you think about, did you think Trump's using the military force to clear the protesters? Do you think that was like, was that overreaching or whatever they were asking? And nothing. They just like silence. Mm-hmm. They didn't say yes. They didn't say no. Mm-hmm. They just said nothing. Mm-hmm. And like silence is complicit. Like they just completely...
And you know they wouldn't have been silent if Obama did anything like that. Oh my God! Are you kidding?
Obama wouldn't be president anymore.
No, no.
He would like it. They would have had him out the door. It would just.
No, I mean they wanted to. They so desperately wanted to pin anything they could on him, and it was just absolutely. He was Mr. You know, no drama Obama, and he had no scandals, but except for that tan suit.
Tan suit. One time he chewed gum. Another time he saluted while he was holding a cup.
And he had the audacity to order Dijon mustard. And that was bad. And then, of course, who can forget? We saw Michelle Obama's arms.
Oh, no. I mean, you can see a lot more of our current first lady.
No
If you Google it.
Oh, my God.
Whenever I make jokes like that, I always get a bunch of liberals.
But you're not shaming her.
They're like, oh, you're shaming her. You're not sex positive. And I'm like, no, I am sex positive. I'm just stating a fact.
No,
because they went after Michelle Obama for her arms. And it's like, it's just as well, there's more power to her. I don't really, it's just a fact. That's what
she
did.
You're pointing out the hypocrisy. You're not coming down on, you know, I mean, I don't come down on Melania for her photos because, I mean, you know, I understand. That, I mean, the whole thing with her, I've always questioned what's the deal with Melania, because it doesn't add up where she was a model. You know, Quinn Cummings, who's an actress, pointed out that she doesn't have any Zed cards. And a Zed card is basically just a number of like maybe three or four photos on one, you know, maybe postcard size piece of paper that you send out to agents. And so maybe it has you in a bathing suit, maybe it has you in, you know, another kind of outfit, but it shows four different looks on it. And all models and actors, they get new, you know, headshots and Zed cards every fucking year, sometimes two times a year. And Melania doesn't have any. And the only time she ever did any legitimate modeling was after she met Trump. And I know the I was looking it up because the magazine where she has all the nudes, especially I think it was the one with the other woman, it's a legitimate magazine, but as we know, and I'm not judging it, I'm just saying most models who are, you know, successful aren't doing those kinds of photo shoots. So it was a unique situation, and I can't remember if she did that photo shoot before she met Trump or after. But I question their whole relationship. I've often wondered, what if she was part of the Epstein crowd? And, you know, what if Trump purchased her? I mean, I don't know if this is true, and I will never know unless there's some kind of a tell-all later. You know, and people always jump down my throat because they want to hate on her. And it's like, well, clearly she wore that jacket that said, "I don't care, do you," when she went to visit the kids. And some people speculated that it wasn't about the children so much, that it was a way to say fuck you to Trump, to get him in trouble, that he'd have to fucking answer for it. And it's like she's got no fucks to give. I really don't know. I don't know. But I feel like that relationship, I mean, yesterday, I'm sure you saw, there's more pictures of them standing next to each other, looking like they're miserable. And he asked,
weird.
It's so weird. And he asked her to smile and she could like barely move her mouth. And, you know,
that could be the plastic surgery. I mean, pretty soon her eyeballs are going to be by her ears.
Yeah, but like, I noticed.
Like the way stretching her face back further and further.
But I noticed there was a nun there, she had a nice big smile. But for Trump, okay. She couldn't manage it. But the thing is it's like, you know, and this is not me pitying her. I'm not saying that I'm pitying her, but it's like, I think that there's a very good chance, you know, because I think it was Caputo. Is that his name? Michael Caputo? I don't know. It was the guy who wrote Fire and Fury, I believe. And he said that, you know, he was a journalist in the White House following everybody. And he was following the Trump campaign when they won. And so evidently what happened the night a victory was Melania just lost her fucking shit and was like endlessly crying. And, you know, the rumors out there are that she wanted a divorce and Trump was like, "You got to stay with me if I'm president." And, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if he used Barron as, you know, the way to keep her there. And he could say to her, "Well, you know, who's going to fight? What judge is going to give you, Barron, when I'm the president of the United States? I will win." And like, he even fucking cares about that child.
Well, that's a say. And that is the only credit I will ever, because Melania's a birther. I don't like her at all. Mm-hmm. But the only credit I will give to her is the fact that you can tell she, like, Barron is her boy.
Yeah, he's her everything.
And you can tell, like, everyone gave her a lot of grief for staying in New York for so long after Trump was in office. And she stayed, I believe, so he could finish out his school year.
Yeah.
I don't know for certain if this is true. This is an unproven rumor that he does have
autism.
And which would explain Trump's remark on vaccines, and it explains a lot, and it also explains a lot why they stayed in New York. Because as a former autism educator myself, like you need that consistency.
Oh, right.
In education, and if she were to just rip him out of school and put him into something new in D.C., that would have just completely upended anything that they were doing with him.
Yes, totally.
So that's where I am actually like, okay, she did what was best for her son.
Yeah. Well, you know, the birther thing, and please, people who are listening, do not yell at me and tell me, you know, she's a birther. And if you hate her, go ahead and hate her. I'm not telling you to not hate her. But I always see two sides. Like, I want to get to the whole thing about protesting, and I have two sides of that. Like, I see one side, I see the other. So, you know, I met this guy when I was selling. I hated even admitting I did this, but I sold oil briefly. And I met this guy who was part of the mafia, and I didn't realize he was part of the mafia, but I went to his office and we were sitting there. And fortunately at the time I had a work phone. I didn't give out my cell phone number. So like in every other sales job, I always just used my regular cell phone. So anyway, we're sitting there and there's all these pictures of him with people like Joe Pesci. And then there would be pictures of him with other Italian people in New York. And so he starts telling me about all these relationships he has with these New York people. And it's starting to click, right? I'm like, oh my God, this guy's fucking mafia. And he owned a construction type business. And so, and then later I found out, I Googled him because I was there in the first place because there was the guy that I was talking to was an older man and he had an adopted son. And I saw his adopted son at some kind of, you know, work gathering. And I thought, oh, I want to go out with him. And so I, of course, went up to the older man and found out that it was his stepfather because by that time, the guy I was interested in had left for the evening. But anyway, I made an appointment because I thought, oh, I'll meet this guy by showing up at their place of business. And, you know, hopefully I'll get a date out of it. And so I never did actually meet in person the guy that I wanted to, but I looked them up on the internet and I read about, there was this whole thing called the Santa Monica Pier scandal or something like that. And the guy that I had been talking to was threatening other people who were like paying him when they weren't getting a job done fast enough. This mafia man was threatening literally to, you know, put blocks of cement on their feet and throwing them into the ocean. So it's like full on mafia shit. So anyway, I completely avoided them after that. And it was crazy because the older dude kept calling me on my work phone. And this was coming toward the end of my tenure at this stupid fucking oil company. And thankfully, I left Southern California and moved to Northern California. But this older man was like fucking hounding me on my work phone. So I was talking to a girlfriend of mine and she said, you know, wow, I'm really glad that you just got away from that because I knew a woman who was literally married to the mob. And when you find out, when they know that you know their mafia, you are in. You can't leave. You cannot leave. And so I've always wondered about her, like Melania, with the birther thing, because it's like, has she, outside of being the first lady, is there any other thing that she talked about that was political? This was the only thing. And I could easily see Trump wanting to double down on his birther shit, ordering Melania to go talk to people in the news about it. Maybe they contacted her, you know, and Trump's like, yeah, go do it. I could see that. I'm not saying that that's the way, but I could see that scenario play out because she married the mob. You know, whether
she did. Yeah. And we don't know. And we don't know how, like, she could have, I mean, maybe she was told to do it or else. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I always wonder about her. Like, could it be, because I know people are so quick to jump and hate her. And it's like, look, I don't know what to think of her, but I do know that Trump treats women like shit. He doesn't value them at all. And, you know, there was also this storyline about how he met, oh God, I can't remember this actress's name, but there was an actress who, oh, I wish I could remember her name, but he really liked her. Claire Forlani. That's who it was. He had this big crush on Claire Forlani. And so somebody was putting up pictures of Melania after her plastic surgery and kind of saying that Trump wanted Melania to look like Claire Forlani. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing. But I mean, I don't know if it's true. I have no idea if he wanted her to, you know, get plastic surgery to look like someone else. But I don't doubt at all that he tells the women he's surrounded with, including his daughter, to get boob jobs. He's the mob and I don't trust him. And so even though Melania's behavior is very poor, I know for sure she's not happy with him. And I know for sure she feels stuck because we saw on Inauguration Day when he did that thing where he turned around and he looked at her and she smiled and then he turned around and it looked like she was going to vomit. And I mean, that's legitimate. And a lot of people go, well, I don't feel sorry for her. Again, I'm not trying to say don't feel sorry for her. I just feel like, you know, all we know is that he was involved with Epstein and there was this really weird like history. If you look up her history with modeling, it really, you know, she came over here and not too long after got involved with Trump modeling. So that could have been an Epstein situation. And I don't know. For all I know, she's exactly what everybody thinks she is. And, you know, she was just a gold digger and she was looking for money. I don't know. But I feel like with her, there's a big question mark. And I do agree with you that obviously she loves Barron. She loves Barron very much. Yes. You know,
I don't doubt that at all. No. I don't think Trump care. I don't think Trump, he barely talks about Barron. Barron's not even in family photos. It's the most bizarre
thing. He said it was Melania. He called him Melania's son. He referred to Barron as Melania's son. So it's like, I think she just fucking hates him. I mean, whatever happened in the beginning, if she thought, oh, this is my free ticket and my free, at this point, she just wants out. And, you know, I think she's stuck there because she has to stay with him while he's the president. And, you know, people say she could end this right now by, you know, telling the truth. Well, if she signed some kind of, you know, legal contract giving him custody, knowing that he doesn't even give a shit about his own kids, she wouldn't do it. I mean, if I were a mom of an autistic son, or even just not autistic son, I would not want that person. I wouldn't want my child living with Trump. No fucking way.
Yeah, we don't know the details. We do know that he has have people sign NDAs all the time. He pays people off. He does a lot of things with contracts and threatens to sue, and he does all these things. And so we don't know the ins and outs of their relationship and what is actually going on.
Yeah, and it's like I feel like so torn when I look at her, because I, you know, obviously she's I mean, and I when I think in terms of her plagiarizing Michelle Obama's speech, I mean, she's not doing that. She's not writing speeches. She's just getting a piece of paper and reading it.
It was after that happened. I heard that she had liked Michelle Obama's speech. So she asked her speechwriter to write something, you know, along the lines of that, create something, you know, similar.
Right.
But instead the speechwriter basically plagiarized it. And then apparently Melania didn't read it first or didn't notice that it was the same exact speech, almost verbatim, and read it.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's on her, that she should be smart enough to recognize. She should have checked it in advance. But it's like, did she have intent? No, I don't think she intended to.
I really don't think that she intentionally plagiarized.
I just think that whole fucking family is so unbelievably disgusting and toxic. And, you know, she's caught up in it, whether it was a absolute, you know, I'm going in there because I want the money, or it was some weird situation. I don't know. But they're all so fucking toxic. And the one that I feel the most sorry for is Barron, because he just, you know, he's just an innocent at this point. And, you know, I mean, at some point Ivanka was an innocent, but, you know, you cross over and boy, all the other children cross. I don't think Barron will be like them. Tiffany's not like that.
I think Tiffany's mom kind of kept her away from that.
Yeah.
Marla Maples.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if you've seen that documentary about Trump and like his relationships and like Marla Maples, and basically like he didn't want Tiffany. And then he felt obligated to like marry Marla Maples. And then so who knows if he even wanted Barron? Like, I don't know. Like, we don't know. Oh, that document, I got to look it up and I'll send it to you. But that documentary, it was like, I don't know if it was a documentary or documentary series on Netflix, but it was, I'll never forget the one quote from his mother that was like, oh yeah, he used to take the blocks from his brother and glue them together so his brother could no longer use them.
What a fucking dick.
And then she laughs about it. So here's the thing. God. So not only was he such a sociopathic like child and from the beginning, but it was encouraged and he got no consequences for it.
Yeah.
So he's lived his whole life just being able to do whatever the hell he wants to do and never getting in trouble for it. And this is like 70 whatever years later, this is what we have.
Exactly. It's like, you know, my brother told me, and of course I'll never remember this guy, but some dude on YouTube likes to just take a look at different personalities. Trump was one of them. And so he doesn't take a partisan approach. He's just totally nonpartisan. And you know, he was talking about how Trump was in school and how he was known. And basically, I guess he was given some kind of authority and abused it, because what he would do is he would use like whatever title he was given, he would tell someone else to do the job for him while he went up and laid in his bed and did whatever, diddled around and did nothing, which of course is Hello, going out and hiding in the bunker that he supposedly was only inspecting for a teeny tiny amount of time.
He said he was inspecting it, just like he inspects a cheeseburger. Like, come on. We know what you're doing with that.
He's so full of shit, it's unfucking believable. I cannot even get over it. But anyway, I didn't, you know, as far, like, I want to just say one more time, I am not defending Melania. Please don't give me shit for defending her. It's just... As somebody who follows politics and somebody who follows feminist issues and women's issues, I can't help but be curious and wonder. So I'm not making any, you know, broad statements.
I'm not defending her. I'm not defending her. I'm just fascinated. Yeah. I think that's more like, I just want to figure
it out.
It's
fascinating. Yes, like, it's because there are question marks.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, everybody thinks they know, but really we don't know. All we can do is look from the outside and you know, make an assumption. And I found that clearly... You know, sometimes things aren't as they seem. So, you know, I always just try to keep that in mind with her. I try to keep my comments to her. You know, I don't necessarily, I never body shame her. But it's, and I know some people feel comfortable doing that, but it's like, I don't, because I just don't see that it's relevant.
I also think she's very beautiful. Like she's, yeah, I mean,
she is. Yeah. She is beautiful. And, you know, I mean, and I don't know if she's kind. People say she's kind. I don't know that she's kind. Maybe she isn't.
I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. It's a mystery. She's not a very public facing first lady like Michelle Obama was. Obama, she put her whole self out there.
Yeah.
And God love her for it.
The only thing that I do know
Melania,
is she,
we don't know.
Yeah, the only thing that I can say with like real certainty is I think she hates Donald now. I don't know if she always did, but she hates him now. It's very clear. She doesn't want him holding her hand. She's disgusted by him. But anyway, I want to like go back to these protests because I'm just curious as to what you think. Now, I saw a woman tweet, you know, stay home. Please stay home because from these protests, because Trump, it's an excuse for Trump to basically declare martial law. And so here's the two sides that I see. I get the raw emotion. And I get the fact that people want, you know, like when there's momentum, you use it. When there's energy around something, you go with that energy. But on the other hand, outside of giving Trump an excuse to use military force like he already has on innocent, peaceful protesters, we also have COVID, you know, and there's all and it's like. I feel like, I mean, I'm certainly not going to tell anybody what they should do. I think everybody needs to figure this out for themselves. But it does concern me that, you know, not only are we going to see these COVID cases spike more because, you know, some of these people who are protesting are not wearing masks. And, you know, you just need a little wind for a droplet to, you know, here's how it could happen. A droplet could hit your hair. You touch your hair and then you touch your nose and you've got it. So it's that simple. Or it could literally, you could breathe it in. So I feel like, are we going to be able to see any kind of real change from people in the streets right now? And I'm not saying that to suggest that we're not. I'm sincerely asking. And I know that we've had, you know, I mean, black people were murdered by white people and got off while Obama was president. So just because we have a Democratic president doesn't mean everything's going to be solved. This goes, you know, definitely we have to vote. And we have to vote in people who are going to write stronger laws that are going to protect black people or anybody from, you know, brutal cops and all of that. But I just wonder what kind of change we might see while Trump is still president when it comes to the police force. And again, I'm not asking that in with a negative leaning. Like, I'm sincerely asking. And is there anything that you can offer?
I see it as this. I'm actually for the protests as much as the COVID concerns obviously concern me. I'm concerned for those out there. I you know, when I see people wearing masks, I'm very happy to see them wearing masks.
Yeah, me too.
I think this is needed. I think that it's been a long time coming. I think the rest of the world is seeing it and they're also joining in because they see like everything going on in America. Like if some, you know, I think ultimately we're getting a giant microscope on what is happening. We're seeing it. We're seeing it full. Like we're seeing excessive force being used. The police are proving us right that they do this.
Yeah.
Like they're proving a point that yes, you use excessive force on black people, you use excessive force on brown people, you use excessive force on peaceful protesters, and you're doing it in front of cameras. They're shooting rubber pellets at the press. And you're also seeing Trump act like a fascist dictator, mm-hmm. which I think ultimately is going to hurt his chances at re-election.
Yeah.
So it's like all of this stuff is happening. It's like to show, it's shining a spotlight on all of it. So if we don't see the changes in the police force or in their justice system overall under Trump, which mm-hmm. I don't think we will,
right.
it's now been completely exposed yeah. and we can work from there. And so maybe if we get a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate and in the White House, we can actually make some changes.
Yeah, because like I saw this post, so I'm going to read this. This is from Stance Grounded on Twitter. Says this is David McCatty. I hope I'm saying that right. He was the owner of Yaya's Barbecue in Louisville, Kentucky. A pillar of his community, he gave free food to people in need. Of course, he's black. He gave free food to the police, who in return shot and killed him last night and left his body on the street for 12 hours. And Ashley Nicole Black quote tweeted and said, "I can't stop thinking about this. They love to tell us that if we behave perfectly, the cops would leave us alone. This man fed the cops for free and they killed him. Asking yeah. one group to behave perfectly to get freedoms from another group gets by default is still racist." And it's like, you
exactly.
know, it brings me to the, you know, it's like I see people who are white and comfortable and privileged going, you know, burning down businesses is not helping. And I mean, I saw black people say that and they're right. It's not helping anything. It's not necessarily solving anything. But when a fucking black man is feeding the police for free and then he gets murdered, how do you fight back? If no one listens to you, you have to fight. You feel compelled to burn shit down.
That's exactly right. And here's the thing about businesses and property. All those places of business are insured.
Yes.
You break a piece of glass, you file a claim, you get it replaced. You have stuff stolen from your store, you file a claim, you get it replaced. You know what you can't replace
yeah.
is human life. Mm-hmm. If you get gunned down in the street, you can't file a claim and get your family member back.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to be looking at is these priorities and how and the perspective of how to actually look at what's going on.
Yeah.
It's like, should we people be looting and breaking shit and setting stuff on fire? Maybe not. But, like, they've been trying to get your attention for so
That's
long.
That's it. That's it. I mean, there was. Did you see that it's video like, where there were
yeah,
three
like
generations?
Colin Kaepernick tried. Yeah, Colin yes. Kaepernick tried to kneel. He tried to kneel and peacefully bring, you know, people to see what was happening. Like mm-hmm. he wanted to bring everybody's focus to the criminal injustice, and they're like, "No, don't kneel. That's disrespectful."
Right.
It's like, okay, white people, how would you like black people to behave for you to listen to them?
Right. Yeah, no, what is it like, going to take?
It's like, Jesus, no, that shouldn't be how it is at all. Mm-hmm. It's like we're all human and we all have the right for our voices to be heard without being dictated to on how to actually communicate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like when women, you know... Anytime when it gets to feminism, it's like if a woman is pissed off, then she's written off as the angry female. And it's like, yeah, of course I'm fucking angry.
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, I used to think like there was a time when I was writing about rape and, you know, and it's such a fucking ugly topic. And you know, unfortunately, the story that I did was a number of white men raping women and fucking infants, raping infants and getting off because they were white. They had white male judges who protected them and the white men got off. And I would write about it and I would post about it and I would have this thought in my head, like, you know, I know there's going to be a number of people out there who are going to be like, "Kimberly, why are you so negative? Why are you always talking about negative things? You know, why don't you talk?" I mean, people have said that to me and it's like, I'm just talking about what's going on. And I'm not being negative. What's going on is negative. It's not me.
That's just it, you pointing it out. Yeah. It's like, I'm not angry. Like, I am angry. And you
right.
should be angry, too.
Yeah.
If you're not angry, you're just sitting there in your privilege of able to avoid it or ignore it. Like,
yeah.
that's, yeah, it's, you
and
should, everybody should be angry.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to get, like, I have this story where my girlfriend was having major financial problems. And she's a... Funnily enough, she's a born-again Christian, and, you know, I am not. But we were able to have, a best friendship, really, because we respected each other. And she never you know, tried to sell me on her religion. We could talk about religion and we could disagree. It was so wonderful because we could talk about it and disagree and it wouldn't matter. Like, it didn't interrupt our friendship or hurt our friendship. And so anyway, her husband left her and she had four kids and he fucked everything up and they lost their house and all this stuff. So, you know, she was going to this church and she was given money every week to the church and she was like really into it. And so her pastor didn't want to help when she was financially, because my mom said sometimes the church will help. So I told Laura, I don't want to say her name. I told my friend and I'm like, you should call your pastor and talk to him. And so, of course, he was like, you're on your own. I'm like, oh, no, he didn't. So I said, give me his number. I found him and I called him and I like fucking chewed him out. And it was funny because he couldn't get, I mean, I didn't use profanity and I wasn't mean, but it was like, I wouldn't fucking stop. And he wanted to hang up so much and he couldn't because he was like, what's he going to do? Hang up on me? And I just kept shaming him and shaming him and shaming him. But I mean, it comes back to this behavior that people don't like. Oh, I don't like it when you're doing this. Because it's uncomfortable. I make people uncomfortable. And I know that I do. And that's what these protests are about. They're about making us uncomfortable because you know what? A huge portion of our American community who has darker skin are fucking uncomfortable. Women, you know, women have fears that their children are not going to come home because of the color of their skin. You know, black moms and Latino moms and or Latina moms, it's like, that's something white people never have to think about. I mean, of course, you know, you fear for your children and you worry about your children, but black mothers have a whole different set of worrying about their kids from the moment they're brought into this world until, you know, they're old. Because it doesn't, you know, being a black person in this country means that you could just get murdered for no reason by a white person who's going to get off.
Exactly. It's incredibly scary. It's people are like, oh, well, white people get murdered too. And like, they always say that. And it's like this defensive reaction. Right. And I'm like, okay, but was the color of their skin the reason they got murdered?
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to.
And I feel like, I mean, here we are two white women talking about this, but I
know, I'm but, like, I feel like I know, I don't want to be like the white woman just like explaining race to,
but
people.
I mean,
like,
I think
I'm well aware of what's like, I'm well aware that I'm that white woman talking about it, but I still want, and I want what I, as a white person want to do is talk less and uplift black voices more.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah. And I feel
that's what I'm aiming to do as an active change in my own life.
Yes. And there are, like, for instance, if there were two men discussing feminism, I mean, I feel like I would look at that as long as they're, and I don't know what a black person would say to me. There's a woman that I'm considering asking on the show. She's a little bit more religious than I am. So I don't know if religion would even be a part of it, but she's a black woman. And it was interesting because I posted the other day about Joe Biden, when he said, you ain't black or something like that if you're voting for me. And so I saw a couple of black people on Twitter say, look, I'm with Biden. And the only people who have problems with what he just said are white. And so I saw another black person kind of post the same thing. And so coming from that point of view, coming from the point of view of seeing black people defending Biden and agreeing with Biden on his stupid gaffe, I felt like I posted something and said, look, this is Joe Biden. We all know Joe Biden is a gaffe machine. And I don't know. I said something like, get over it. It's between Trump or Biden. So this woman came on and she said, I don't think it's your place. And she's black. And she said, I don't think it's your place to tell black people how to feel. And you know, when I wrote that tweet, I wasn't thinking that in those terms. I was thinking, I was going off of what I was hearing from other black people. And so I told her, I said, you are 100% right. It is not my place to tell black people how to feel. And I mean, I didn't try to defend it with her. I just agreed because it's the truth. It isn't my place. I mean, I looked at that tweet afterward and I could see, oh, you know, that sounds tone deaf. It sounds like a white person telling everybody to shut up. And I just meant it like, okay, well, we have to deal with Trump or Biden here. Who do you want? You know, as much as fucking Biden says stupid shit, he's not like Trump. And he's not going to behave like Trump. He's not going to bring in the fucking military and spray peaceful protesters to get out of his way when he wants to have a photo op.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I mean, I'm considering asking, I won't say who it is because I don't even know if she's interested in coming on the show. She has her own podcast, but you know, I definitely want to have these discussions with people of color. I mean, I talked to my podcast, she's not really my co-host per se, but you're a co-host. She's one of my co-hosts, but Stephanie, she's Latina. And so yeah. It's, you know, I mean, she can speak from that point of view and I can't.
Yeah. That's like my wife and my mother-in-law, like they can speak from a perspective that I'll never know. And right. I have no authority to, like, I don't live their experience. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because you don't want to just be the white people talking about race, but at the same time, you know, I hear black people, there was this great tweet that I retweeted recently about this young black woman who was talking to all these, like, you know, military looking cops. And she's like, you need to march with us. And she was really just laying it on the line. She was explaining to them her point of view. And, why that they need to march alongside her. And, you know, I mean, all I can do is try to listen to what people like her have to say, listen to you know, some like The Root yesterday put out this fucking awesome article calling Trump a punk ass president. It was so fucking great. But it's, you know, I mean, I try to amplify, you know, black voices on Twitter. But I've looked at my, you know, my guests and I've had, you know, Frangela, but I haven't had a lot of black guests. And I feel like that's because sometimes I ask people and they're not interested. Sometimes they are, you know, maybe they don't like me. I don't know what the reason is, but it's, you know, it's like you're saying, I want to change that. And I want to amplify not just black people, but more people of color, because their experience is sadly very different than white people's experience in this country.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, well, you know, it's just another day in fucking America. It's so much fun, isn't it?
Oh God, every day at like around like 5, I'm just like watching the news. I'm like, what is Trump going to do to the protesters today? I get so scared for them. I don't know what he's going to do. Like, what were they call the military, and the military had bayonets.
Right.
In DC, and they're in other places. There's like sniper rifles like on the roofs.
Yes.
And I'm just like, what are they planning to do? And like that scene with the military on the Lincoln Memorial. Yes.
I know.
That was just like something straight out of Handmaid's Tale. I was like, is this American? Like, and like the military vehicles going down the street. Like, I haven't seen that since like, okay, so I lived, the street I lived on in Boston, like I wasn't living on it at the time when this, when the Boston bombing occurred, mm-hmm. but the street that the big shootout happened a few days later, that was the street I lived on. Wow. And so I all these pictures were coming across my feed of like this, like, oh my God. And that's like, now it's like, no, people are just peacefully protesting, just like trying to stay alive. Yeah. And you're like rolling tanks down the street, like these big armored vehicles. That's what my brother drove in Iraq.
Wow.
Come on. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I lived in Russia. I mean, I never really saw the military parades. I remember there was some Christmas parade, but I don't remember if there are even military tanks, and there probably were, but yeah, I mean, this just looks like another country. Somebody put in that photo with all of the men dressed in that garb standing in the Lincoln Memorial, and they put up like they photoshopped in the Nazi flag banners, and it's mm-hmm. like, wow. It just kind of gave me a stomachache to look at that. And I feel like, you know, I mean, I don't know what we're going to see with Trump moving forward, but I can only imagine that it's going to be so awful. It's going to be like,
he has to lose in November. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about, like, I cannot even fathom what he would do with his second term where he feels like he doesn't have to behave at all. He already feels like he doesn't have to behave at all.
Right.
But then when he has the pressure of not like, and then he's always joking about extending his term forever and ever and ever. And I'm like, I wouldn't put it past him. Yeah. Like,
I wouldn't just, either.
Like, he has to lose in November. Like, he has to.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, they all have to lose in a big way, because if there is any If it's just by a few points on, like, you know, obviously there's the presidency and then there's the individual races. If we don't see a blue fucking flood, the Republicans, I almost said the Russians, the Republicans are going to say, all right, yeah, we're going to, we'll get it next time. It's showing everybody that, you know, we're just, it's just a few points away from going through this again. Cause who are they going to put up next time? I mean, Ivanka, are they going to put up Ivanka? I can't even fucking imagine what that would be like. So he has to win. Trump has to lose, like, by huge fucking numbers. And we have to get rid of the Republicans because Republicans have to realize behaving this way means they lose. So they have to fucking change it up.
Exactly. I agree. It has to be overwhelming. Like, it has to be. There's no question where it's not even close.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, the people have spoken and they reject you.
I just hope so because, you know, and I'm seeing a lot, and I wrote about this yesterday. There are people on the left. I mean, there's definitely MAGAs, but there are people, I call them fringe left. I just don't want to call them progressives because they're not progressive. They're fringe left. And they are saying, you know, oh, centrists are blaming everything on Russia. And that's not true. I mean, I know that I'm included in that centrist label, which I'm not a centrist, but whatever. I don't blame everything on Russia. There's all kinds of problems America has that has nothing to do with Russia. But Russia, you know, uses wedge issues like Black Lives Matter. I mean, we know for sure in 2016 they used Black Lives Matter, where they have infiltrators online posing as Black Lives Matter activists. And then they have, you know, the opposite of that so that they play both sides of that debate. They did the same thing with the vaccine debate because they understand that if we're at each other's throats, that benefits Russia. And the reason why is because Vladimir Putin, who is an ex-Soviet. I mean, I think he's an ex-Soviet because Soviets doesn't exist anymore, but he is Soviet to the core. He will always be a Soviet.
He's KGB, yeah.
Yeah, so his mindset is Soviet till the day he dies. And, you know, I mean, it's not about, you know, Vladimir Putin wants to take over America and turn America into Russia. No, it's about he wants Russia to be the world's superpower, and he is...
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he's like this evil motherfucker who just wants to kneecap. He wants to fucking hurt our democracy because... when our democracy falls, he benefits from it, and he gets to be the big fucking fish on the globe. That's how he sees it. Whether that's how it will play out or not, that's how he views it. And it's not just America. He's doing it to other countries. He's trying to do it. He tried in some cases and failed. He's definitely had his hands in the whole England, you know, the UK situation with Brexit and everything. So... you know, I think it is so disingenuous and it's irresponsible for some of these people. A lot of them are at The Intercept and, you know, they're downplaying. It's like Matt Taibbi, who I used to fucking adore and love, even had a crush on, you know, he lived in Russia and now he's basically acting like, oh, the Russia thing, it's Russiagate and it's bullshit. So isn't that interesting? He lived there. And now he's acting like, oh, it couldn't be. So it's like, well, what do they fucking have on him? I just don't, you know, it's like, I don't trust him. And anybody who downplays this, I mean, when we've had Senate Republicans and Democrats agree that they attacked us in 2016. We have all of the intelligence agencies saying they attacked us in 2016 and that the fucking Robert Mueller said they're going to do it in 2020. And the thing about 2020 is, not only are they going to pull what they pulled before, they're more sophisticated and they're escalating their efforts. And so I made this point because I saw this guy named Uncle Blazer on Twitter. So Uncle Blazer put out this tweet thread saying he thought the murder of George Floyd was a Russian operation. So then... Malcolm Nance came on and quote tweeted him and said, do not listen to this. This is stupid. This is conspiracy theory and we don't need this crap. So first of all, I agree with Malcolm Nance. I do not believe that the murder of George Floyd was not like ordered by Putin or anything like that. I believe that was an organic murder that happened because of white supremacy and all of that. But what I think is lost in this is there are, you know, I'm sure, and I'm guessing, but I'm sure that there are white Russian white supremacists working alongside with American white supremacists. So when things like George Floyd's when George Floyd was murdered, they're on it. They've got everything in play to exploit that situation. And as we've been seeing, the white supremacists have been part of the problem with looting and violence and all of that. So do I think Russia is behind it? I think Russia has a part to play. Whether Trump was president or not, this is the kind of tactics that they use. And so, and obviously Russia is all about white supremacy. And so when it comes to this particular, were there Russian white supremacists in the crowd? I don't know, but I guarantee you that those, there were Facebook pages dedicated to putting out, you know, here's the plan for UKIPA. Here's the plan for wherever. And they're sending their white supremacist soldiers out into the protests to basically create anarchy.
And a lot of them are being very destructive to property. Uh-huh. That happened all the time in Portland, Oregon, when I lived there. And I think, and I saw a friend from Portland post something about that today, mm-hmm. how they were even doing like the white power symbol.
Yeah.
That they're the ones being destructive. Like they're dressing themselves, as like Antifa or whatever, but they're like these white supremacists. Like the Pacific Northwest has a really bad white supremacy problem.
It does. I know it does.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place, but mm-hmm. I was kind of happy to leave. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have white supremacy nationwide. So, yeah. I mean, it's everywhere.
Well, there are a lot of, let's say, people, like, I think they're fringe left. I think they're kind of like what I would describe as libertarian left. So they're almost like the survivalist mindset. And I knew a couple of people, like when I lived in Northern California, some of my friends knew this guy who I call libertarian left. I mean, he's totally anti-vaccine and he's a full-on, you know, he would be what you would call like a democratic socialist, which in some ways I feel like I definitely am for a lot of it. I'm for, you know, Social Security, that's democratic socialism. I'm for, you know, Medicare. I'm for the taxation so that we can fix our streets and have a police force, a good police force, not. And, you know, I want to get to the last thing I want to talk about is the whole idea of bad cops versus good cops. But I mean, it's like, you know, that is democratic socialism, but they take it farther and they take it like into this, you know, conspiracy of, oh yeah, you know, like I even heard it with COVID, people saying, I'm not taking that COVID vaccination because it's some kind of way for, you know, whatever, George Soros or whoever.
Oh, yeah. They were saying like the virus was created.
Right.
So that they could create a vaccine so that they could give us the vaccine and like track us or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
And I was like, and then I saw some meme and it was hilarious where they're like, you know, we all have cell phones and they could do that right now.
Exactly.
Anyway.
That's exactly it.
Why would they go through the trouble of creating a worldwide pandemic to then create a vaccine, to then insert, try to get it into everybody, to then track? It's like, are you holding a cell phone right now? Are you complaining on Twitter?
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You have a geotag. They know exactly where you are.
Yeah, we're doing it voluntarily as well. So. Yeah, but I see that shit. Now I forgot what I want. What was the last thing I wanted to talk about? Do you remember what I just said? You know, I mean, I saw this great post by Sarah Benincasa. I think that's the way to say her name. I don't know, but she was basically just saying, you know, we don't need to hear about all the good cops right now. And somebody came on, and you know, she made a really good point. It's like obviously we know there are good cops. It's like this whole not all cops thing. It's like, why does that come up every time? You know, obviously, if my house is robbed, I'm going to call the police and I'm going to hope that those police are good police. And you know what? I have white privilege. And so, you know, regardless of the color of the police officers, I'm going to be safer than somebody else might be. And that's just the ugly truth of the situation. But yes, there are good cops. I mean, I had that situation last summer where I saw, I was driving along and I see there are like three or four cops holding down a a black man. And it was just like, as you were leaving an outside shopping mall with grocery stores and a Target and liquor stores and stuff like that. So, this black man was kind of like in the middle, like, you know how they'll have one lane and then they'll have like a divide with grass and then they'll have the next lane. So they were on the divide and these three cops were holding this three white cops were holding this black man down. So I pulled over and I got my phone out and, I told this a little bit on Monday when I was talking to Kathy Griffin, but it's like, you know, I think I did anyway, but I stood next to this woman who was also filming and we were just talking about it and I watched the cops and the way they were behaving and the man who was, I think the man who they were holding down was intoxicated a little bit and he kept trying to fight and like get, and the lady who was standing next to me, who was African-American, was saying, we were telling this guy, just fucking obey them and stop fighting them. And because I was afraid. You know, I didn't know if I was going to see what we just saw with George Floyd. Fortunately, nothing happened. And the cops waited until, you know, the van came and they put this guy in the van. And supposedly he stole something from Target. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. But what I did learn is that the Montgomery County Police, my mom told me this, that they actually have special training to avoid escalation and that the number of whether it's deaths or, you know, unnecessary violence has dropped significantly because of their training.
That's just it. Like, where is the training to de-escalate?
Exactly.
Like, instead, they are escalating. Like, yes. You see police officers in New York City drive up to a barricade where there's protesters. And sure, they were throwing mm-hmm. some bottles at the car. But there's no one behind them.
Yes.
They could have backed up and, like, driven the other way. Mm-hmm. Instead, they drive through the crowd.
Yeah.
Potentially killing people.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, where that doesn't, that just makes people more mad. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're not de-escalating the situation. We need that training to be like, no, let's come to an understanding. Let's talk. Like, I just, and my whole thing about good cops versus bad cops, as long as bad cops exist and the good cops are doing nothing, there mm-hmm. are no good cops.
Well, that's true. That, you know, there was an incident. My mom had reminded me that when we used to live in Glendale, which is a very, very high population of Armenian families. And so Glendale, California, has some history. Like, they wanted to make it an English-only speaking town at some point. So, and you know, I mean, I would say a good amount of the cops are white over there, which obviously Armenian people are white. But still, there is definitely a divide, right? So one day, my mom was visiting me and you know, she parked her car and I don't remember exactly what happened, but there an Armenian woman hit and run my mom's car. And I think somebody left a note or I can't remember what happened. Maybe the woman was there. I don't remember what happened, but my mom called the police and the police chose to humiliate this Armenian woman. And my mom was pissed. And she was like, I don't want you to humiliate her. I just want you to give her a ticket for hitting my car and trying to leave the scene. Yeah. And the cop like yells at my mom and he's just like, know your place type thing.
Oh, I have a story about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it pissed my mom off so much because it was like, that's not their fucking job. Their job is not to humiliate. Their job is to protect and serve and write out tickets to people who have broken the fucking law. So anyway, what's your story?
Oh, no, it was when I was living in Pasadena and it was about 3 a.m. And Pasadena is very diverse. Mm-hmm. So around 3 a.m., my wife and I were woken up. We hear screaming outside the window across the street. And this woman was being, she was being attacked. Ugh. And so both like my partner and I and then our neighbor upstairs who was also clearly woken up were like shouting outside, mm-hmm. like, get off of her, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And then so meanwhile we're like calling the cops.
Yeah.
So and we live right down the street from the police station. So the guy, he gets up, my wife gets a good description of him, like, look, she knows exactly what he's wearing. He takes off down the street. He starts running. Mm-hmm. We know the street he's going, we know the direction he's going. The cops get there, they go to the woman first, obviously. She gives a description of the man. He was African-American. He was a black man. And he But instead of like getting the description, and my wife is like, this is what he looked like. He was wearing this. And then he literally went down this street. They start questioning every black man who walks by.
Oh my God.
They literally stop like three different black men. It's like, yeah, because he's going to return to the scene.
Exactly. Yeah, they where the cops are.
And my wife's like, no, that's not him. No, that's not him. Yeah. And then like, no, that, you know, like and then they told my wife, like, they're like basically like, stay in your place. Like, shut up. Like, don't talk to us right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, meanwhile, the guy who did attack this woman completely got away.
Wow.
They completely got away, like ran away. And it was just remarkable. Like, they were just like stopping just any random black man on the street and questioning him and detaining them and like in questioning. And we're just like, it was remarkable. Wow. I was like, what is even happening? Like, these aren't the men.
I know.
And the guy that did it ran away. I'm most grateful that the woman was safe.
Right.
But it was just like, it was just something to behold.
Well, and you know what? I mean, these are definitely uncomfortable conversations. And I put up on my Facebook page that, you know, it's true that, you know, white people, even though it's two of us and we're white and we're talking about it, these are the kinds of conversations that white people need to have with each other, because too many white people look away. And I certainly don't claim to be some high superior white person for any reason. I feel fortunate that I have parents who have, you know, been strong, especially my mom, with, you know, never, you know, don't say the N-word around me. And my experience, I got to go to Russia, which the school that I went to in Russia had 80 different nationalities. I went to schools where I did go to schools that were primarily white, but you know, when I lived in California, there were schools that I went to where I was in the minority. White people were in the minority. Actually, white and black people were in the minority. It's predominantly Hispanic and Asian. And so even, you know, and I've said before on the show that, interestingly, even though I was a minority, I never got picked on for my skin color. Never. Nobody ever, you know, I mean, I've had people bully me, and I had, you know, this one girl pulled a knife on me in eighth grade. But again, it wasn't because I was white. Yeah, I pissed her off, and, you know, it wasn't my skin color. So I don't know what it's like to be, you know, harassed or abused or anything based on my skin color. And I think that, you know, you and I are on the same page, but then, you know, both of us know people, I'm sure, who would say, oh, those black people have to stop looting. You know what I mean? Like, they just want to, and it's like, I have now, you know, I mean, in some cases in the past, I did not want to have that conversation with him because I knew how awful and ugly and uncomfortable it would be, but I'm doing it now. You know, there's somebody that I'm talking to on Facebook who is within my family, and I don't care. I just don't care if she doesn't like it. I'm not being a bitch about it, and I'm not force feeding my opinion on her. But if she says something, or if she comments on one of my, because I have a family and friends page, I just throw an article her way about how white supremacists are the ones who are disrupting. And, you know, and it's not to say that, of course, there are some black people who are getting caught up in it. But, you know, I like to say that there is a situation, and I can't be very clear about who the players were, but there was a situation a while back where one person said to me, oh, I'm going to come over at 1 o'clock. And then completely forgot. So this other person who I was with was pissed off about this. And I wasn't. I really just didn't give a shit that she didn't show up at 1 o'clock. I just didn't care. And but this person I was with kept needling me and saying, oh, you know, she should have shown up and she wasted your time and blah, 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 blah. And she got me all fucking riled up. And then it led to a fight. And it led to me behaving like confronting this person about not showing up at 1 o'clock when I really didn't give a shit in the first place. But yeah. I was like, this other person was like getting me going. And I feel like, you know, some of the people who are out there are just going off the energy. And, you know, it's been, you know, decades of oppression and abuse and fear, and they are going with the energy that they're feeling now. And it's not to say that I'm giving them a pass, but if you want to look at it from a psychological point of view, sometimes why that behavior comes about, it's coming out of anger, it's coming out of getting riled up, and, you know, maybe they didn't intend to do it when they showed up. I don't know. Again, it's not a defense, but it's like, you know, when yeah. these kinds of protests happen and shit gets burned down and it's bad, we have to look at the core reason and not just the obvious, oh, they're looting or whatever.
Well, that's just it. I have an extended family member who's a Trump supporter, and like she posted a Martin Luther King meme that said, like, basically using Martin Luther King to be like, he was peaceful, right. You know, you be more like this. And I was like, fuck it. I commented, and I was like, no. I go, you're just saying, you're cherry picking history, first yeah. of all, because like, well, he was a peaceful demonstrator. Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what was going on. Mm-hmm. He was one of the most hated men in America. Yeah. He was murdered, mm-hmm. and then there were following riots. And then the Civil Rights Act of 1968 was passed. But what Martin Luther King Jr. himself said was, riots are the language of the unheard.
Yes.
So you have people who aren't heard, and it's been not even like years or decades; it's been centuries
yeah.
of being unheard. They're gonna riot, yeah. and I don't blame them.
I know.
Like, I can't. It is what it is.
Yeah,
they haven't been heard.
Well, but the thing is that there have been riots, but there's been really more peaceful protests than anything, and we have had
exactly.
outside
agitators. The media's not showing that as much.
No, yeah, they're not.
Exactly. There have been a lot of outside agitators that are coming in for the sole purpose of making the movement look violent and look.
Yes, and riling yeah. people up, because, you know, I mean, yeah. you know that in a situation, like, I remember I was at a Rolling Stones concert, and Guns N' Roses opened for them. And so we were in a stadium, and Axl Rose was right, like, I don't know, let's say I was in row 15. So he was on, you know, the ground, and I don't know what happened. He was singing and he did something, but somebody who, like, say, was in row 4, something happened between him and Axl Rose. And there was animosity, and there was a moment where you could tell things could have gotten bad. And, you know, it's like when you're in a group of people, it's just like, you know, you can also liken this to the crazy ass fucking crowds of Christmas shoppers who stampede each other and fucking kill each other for a television.
I never understood that.
But there's an energy that kind of takes over. So it's like, you know, people buy into that energy. I mean, buy in is the wrong word, but it's like they get caught up in that energy. And so their behavior isn't necessarily representative of who they always are, because you do, like, there is, like, things can turn on a dime when you're in a crowd. It can get very violent very quickly. And people just go. They just go on emotion. It's raw emotion, and they just go. And so I feel like some of these outside agitators kind of help move that along.
I mean, I was in a situation last summer where, like, my town is very liberal, and we had a festival, and all these Trump supporters came in with, like, giant Trump flags. They were selling Trump gear. It was just Trump, 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 Trump everywhere. Ugh. And I was like, I could feel my blood boiling.
Yeah.
That I went home and I put on my Tuck Frump shirt, and I just started doing laps around the festival, being like, come at me, say yeah. something. Like, I was like almost like hoping they were gonna say something.
Right.
Because I was in my liberal town, I did get a few nice shirts, but I was like, but the ones that, like, the Trump supporters didn't say a word.
Interesting.
They didn't say a word. They just, like, and I was just like, I was like, I was so ready for a fight. Yeah.
Yes.
I was like livid. I'm like, why are you here in my community? Mm-hmm. with such, like, and they were just such jerks about it. Like, yeah. they were just so like entitled.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's just this like arrogance that I just can't like stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of Trump supporters.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like that energy made you feel like antagonistic, almost like you were like ready. Yeah. You were ready to go.
I was ready to fight. I was ready to like physically fight. Wow. Like I was there. I was like, I don't know if I would have, but I just, right. I was like, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And then I went and got my hair done like a month later. And she's like, did you go to this festival? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, my boyfriend was there. You know, he wore his Trump shirt to the restaurant. And I was just like, I was like, well, I wore my Tuck Frump shirt. And then she quickly like changed the topic, and we didn't no longer talked about politics. And wow. I was not about to like agitate her in any sort of way. I feel like she was kind of like, she didn't really care about politics.
Yeah.
But I was like, she's cutting my hair right now. I really don't want
to. You don't want to fuck with her.
Yeah. She's holding scissors.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, this is so difficult. And we're in such dark times. And, you know, it's funny because every day is different for me. Like, I woke up today for some reason. I think the reason I woke up kind of in a good mood today is because my kitty seems to be doing better. So, I mean, I'm not like, you know, I'm not sure what's going on with her 100%. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but so far, so good. And so, you know, she really does determine my mood. She really does.
I get it. My pets have been in and out of the vet recently, too. Like, my elderly Chihuahua is like... Oh. He's like, he comes in and go, he's losing vision in one eye. Aww. So it's like, yeah, but he's elderly and I just have to keep reminding myself of that, but he's still got a lot of spunk. So I'm just,
that's it.
I always look at it. Every day is a blessing.
Yes. Every day that they show you that they want to be there, then you know that, but it's like, it's always that confusing period of time. Like, what do I do? What am I supposed to do now? And so it's like, as long as she's, you know, she's okay, I just want her to be comfortable. And she's comfortable and she's happy. And what's really cute is that she, like, wakes me up in the morning and demands her treats. She's very, very, very demanding about it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because what she does, she's in this new routine where she comes in the morning because she likes to sleep in my closet. And then as soon as she hears Bob and I, you know, getting up, then what she wants to do is she comes and she gets on my chest and she looks at Bob. And that's the so he has to pet her, and then she gets off my chest and then stares at him like, okay, time for you to go, because I always put like a towel down and I give her treats on the bed, and that's what she's like, get off the bed, it's treat time. And she's very demanding about it. And so it's like, as long as that's happening, it makes me happy. So, but yeah, every day is different. Every day I wake up and it's like, I'm not sure what to expect. Today I'm in a decent mood.
That's exactly right. Yeah. My bedroom's like a geriatric pet center, because we have one side of the bed. Aww. There's steps for the Chihuahua.
Yeah, I have steps.
And the other side of the bed is this giant like ramp that's like the length of the bed, because my Boston Terrier won't use like the like, with like a bigger pitch one. So like I have to this gradual ramp where she walks up it. And it's like, and she's doing great, except for she's getting weak in her hind legs. I mean, it's just, she's old. It is what it is. But she's comfortable and she's happy and she's spunky. So
that's it. As long as they're comfortable and they show you that they want to be there, then you're all good. So
exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for once again being available last minute. I appreciate it. And I always love talking to you.
It was a good time.
All right. Well, you take care. And I'm going to put everything, you know, all of your... information, you're Sarah Wood, right? Just Sarah Wood on Twitter?
Sarah Wood Writer.
Sarah Wood Writer on Twitter. And then I will put that and your writing page in the text of the Patreon description of this show. So
awesome. Thank you.
So I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna do a little outro and then that'll be that. So you have a good day.
Okay. thank you for having me.
All right, take care.
Okay.
Always good talking to Sarah. I'm just gonna keep this real brief. Next Monday, I don't think I have, do I have Monday? I'm not sure. Glenn Kirshner is going to be here, and I do think that's going to be on next Monday. And I'm looking forward to that. And then I know Steph's going to be with me on Tuesday. So, yay, it's going to be a patrons-only Tuesday show. Not sure who I'm going to book for Wednesday. I think I'm going to ask that woman that I was talking about with Sarah. We'll see if she's interested in coming on the show on Wednesday. But anyway, don't forget, you can find me on Twitter at author Kimberly, KIMBERLEY. And then you can read my books on Amazon.com, Peyton's Choice, The Virgin Diaries, Ain't No Sunshine, and American Woman. I'd really appreciate it if you'd go and get one of my books and give it a good review if you like it. But thanks for listening. And you know that I want your comments. Just don't yell at me about Melania, because I already know. No, you can yell. You can say anything you want. I don't want to edit you. Say whatever you want. But if you accuse me of defending her, I am going to debate with you on that. It will be a friendly debate, but I will debate anybody who, because it's like, like I said with Sarah, I don't know about her. I don't know what the deal is. So thanks for listening. Be safe. And we will see you next week.